Welcome to the Teachers on Fire podcast, where I profile agents of growth and transformation in education today. Each guest shares their highs, their lows, their passions, their goals, and the resources that are shaping their thinking and inspiring their practice. For show notes and links from each episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And of course, please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey. Let's meet today's guest. Today, I'm speaking with Greg Moffitt. Greg is a dad, husband, and principal at Winters Elementary School. He's also a doctoral student at UC Davis and a big education geek. Catch Greg's thoughts on education at readlikeapirate.wordpress.com and follow him on Twitter at Greg_Moffitt. Greg, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to talk education?
I am always ready to talk education, Tim. Thanks so much for inviting me on. I'm excited to be here. It is an honor. Thanks for having me.
Well, I love that energy, Greg. First of all, start by filling in any of the gaps I left out, Greg, about your current context in education.
So I'm definitely an education geek. You got that right. I could talk education and school all day long. I work out in Winters, California. It is a rural town between San Francisco and Sacramento. We are very much a small farming community. It is an incredible place to teach and work and to live. And I work at the one elementary school in town, Winters Elementary. And we've got about 720 awesome students and staff. And about 70% of those students have been labeled either as an English language learner or having been socioeconomically disadvantaged. And, you know, I am amazed by them. I'm amazed by their resiliency. I'm amazed by the community. It is a town that will do anything for our kids. Anything that we ask, the community is there to support us. And it's truly an honor to serve as the elementary school principal for the district.
Greg, that's a pretty special sounding place. And it strikes me that if you are the only elementary school in town, you basically know the whole town. I mean, you could run for mayor, couldn't you?
It is definitely an amazing opportunity to get to know everyone. And being in a small school district, it's really about those relationships and who you get to meet and who you get to know and who you get to help support.
Well, that's awesome. Greg, we're going to start by going to a low moment, a time of adversity that you've faced somewhere in your teaching or education career. So tell us about that and then explain how you overcame that challenge.
Tim, this is such a good question. I am so glad you asked it. Education is really hard work, and it's heart work, as my mentor teacher once told me. And it's emotional and personal, and I think that means that there are going to be some low moments. And I think sometimes we forget to stop and think about them and reflect on them so that we can move forward. So love the question. The end of last year was kind of a low moment for me. And it wasn't so much any one thing, but maybe a bunch of little things and a bunch of little struggles. And there were some students and staff members going through some really, really difficult things at home. And I wasn't sure I was helping them. I wasn't sure I was doing the right things for them. And I think those of us in education do this work because inherently we have really big hearts and we care a lot. And that caring took its toll on me. And I was really wondering if I was making a difference. Luckily, I work with some amazing staff members who are honest with me and who are willing to tell me when I've messed up and need to reflect. And a staff member, her name is Callie Slusser. She's our instructional coach at our school. She was brave enough to come up and tell me that I wasn't smiling anymore. And that really hit home. That really made me stop and reflect and think. And it made me realize that I just sort of needed a reboot. I needed to sort of focus on the things I could control, and I needed to find my joy again. So Callie gave me a book. She had put it on my desk and said, you need to read this. And it was Lead Like a Pirate by Shelley Burgess and Beth Hoof. And it really changed my life. I know it's cliche to say that books change lives, but they really do. And so I read the book and it challenged me to find my passion again and get connected. And so I got on Twitter and I asked folks what I should do. And folks suggested I read Culturize and Lead with Culture. And so I just started reading and making connections with some authors and educators who had similar struggles and similar challenges. And reading their words really inspired me to keep going and to face those challenges and gave me some great ideas. So this year for me has been all about reconnecting with my passion, making school awesome for kids and staff, making learning fun, and just enjoying it again. And so that has made those low moments not so low and being able to push through and to keep on going.
Greg, there's so much to love about that story. And one of my favorite takeaways has to be that line from Callie about not smiling anymore. And I think about the culture of our classrooms, the culture of our schools, even our homes. And I think we can measure the health of those cultures in terms of how much we're smiling. And yeah, when we get to that place of not smiling anymore and we know that fire has gone out, that's a serious signal that something needs to change. And I love how you said Lead Like a Pirate was transformational. So I definitely look forward to getting into that one. Have not read that yet, but I have had Beth Huff on the show here at episode 62 and fantastic educator. So I'm going to add my vote to Lead Like a Pirate. Greg, when you look around education today at your elementary school and beyond, what is it that really excites you?
Oh my gosh, there is so much exciting stuff happening. What really excites me, though, is how prevalent social emotional learning is nowadays. It's definitely a buzzword right now, and I am so glad it is because educators have been talking about it forever and how important it is. And I am so glad that there is research out now that shows how powerful and necessary it is. I'm glad that we have resources and that we have this mindset again, that we really do need to teach the whole child, that we teach kids, and that we need to connect with their hearts and minds. I think it's so important that we help students become self-aware and socially aware to help kids see that they have strengths and talents and that other folks have strengths and talents and to teach how we appreciate that and value that. That's just so important. It really bugs me when folks say that social emotional learning is about teaching soft skills because there is nothing soft about them. They are hard to teach. They are hard to learn. They are hard to use as adults. I mean, how many adults struggle with all this stuff? So they're not soft skills. I think they're essential. We should probably call it like social emotional leadership because I mean, I think this is what kids need to go and change the world and lead,
right,
to be aware of themselves and what they're good at and to value that in other people. That's, I think, what it's all about.
Wow. Well said, Greg. How are you looking to grow professionally and improve your practice this year, Greg? Can you share about a specific professional goal or maybe some kind of an area that you're focusing on?
Well, after reading Lead Like a Pirate this summer and Culturize and Lead with Culture, all of those are books published by Dave Burgess Consulting. And so as I was reading them this summer, I stumbled upon an awesome educator from North Carolina. Her name is Alicia Ray, and she was reading all of the Dave Burgess Consulting books. At
wow.
the time, there were 50 of them, and she was doing it in a summer. And I thought, well, if she could be that crazy and do it in a summer, I could read one a week, and keep reading until they were done writing them. So, the instructional coach at her school, Callie, and I dared each other to, read every single book published by DBC Inc., one book a week. We decided to start with Teach Like a Pirate. That's the first book he wrote and I had never read it. Yes, I was living in a cave and then continue until all, the books we're done. And so there's 60 now and we're reading one a week and we're blogging about it and we're trying to implement something from each book or just take a big reflection and takeaway from each book. And we started in September. It's really been incredible. There are days when we definitely think we are crazy for doing it, but we keep pushing each other to learn new things and try new things and to keep reading.
Well, I am a follower now of the Read Like a Pirate blog, and I look forward to following your reviews and reflections throughout the year, Greg. That is some great stuff. And like you, I crawled out of the cave this year as well. Started with Teach Like a Pirate. And man, I'm not setting the goal of a book a week, Greg. That is monumental, brother. But I am inspired by that. And I'm going to raise my own reading goal as well.
Sweet.
So looking outside of education, let's talk about another area of learning for you. What is it that ignites your passions as a human being when you leave the school?
Anytime I can get outside and go for a hike, I do. I am lucky that I live in a place that's about an hour from the beach and a few hours from the mountains, and getting outside re-energizes me. I am a big fan of national parks, and my wife, daughter, and I, we try to go to one every single summer, and there is just something about hiking or camping that calms me and energizes me at the same time. I just love it. Being with nature is super important. You know, I love what I do. I love being a principal. I love working with kids and in a school, but I think my dream job someday is to be a park ranger and find ways to get more kids out into national parks and out in nature. We need to connect. We need to connect with nature. We need to connect with each other. So yeah, get outside, go for a hike.
100%. Preach it. Greg, share about a personal habit or some kind of a productivity hack that contributes to your success.
I love checklists. I love crossing things off of my checklist. I love putting something on my checklist that I've already done and crossing it off. Yeah, I'm that guy. and I have a daily checklist, which I call my get-to list at school. It's something that my superintendent, Dr. Todd Cutler, suggested I do last year because things were getting really busy and there was a lot going on. And sometimes it can be overwhelming and really easy to lose focus. So he told me that I should focus on the things that I really wanted to accomplish each and every day, something that I could get done every day so it wouldn't build up and pile up and just seem so overwhelming. And then once you do them, check them off. And if I miss a day, it becomes a priority for the next day. And if I miss it 2 days in a row, then it's sort of a mental reminder and a visual reminder to refocus. And reprioritize and make some things happen. So this year, my get-to list is essentially a countdown. It goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And first on the list is to try to get into 5 classrooms each and every day. And then I go 4 things that I want to update, like all the documents and the newsletters and the paperwork. And then I try to make sure I get out to at least 3 recesses and play with kids and hang with kids because that's where the fun is. That's where I can find my joy pretty quickly. And then I try to check in with 2 staff members and have a conversation to see how folks are going and what they're doing. And then I end my day trying to write at least 1 handwritten thank you note. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's always space to put on the checklist, something else that comes up, so I can check that off too. And then I've asked one of our secretaries to be my accountability partner, and she checks in with me throughout the day to see how I'm doing and if I'm getting outside, if I'm getting in those classrooms, if I've written that thank you note.
There's a lot to appreciate there, Greg, and I'm with you. Sometimes on some days you feel like, man, am I getting anything done? And then you look back at that checklist, and when you see all of those checked items, it's reassuring. It gives you a sense of momentum and confidence and optimism for the day. So I love the checklist, and I really think your formula for administrators, the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, has so much value. Man, if you get that out on the interwebs, I will be right behind promoting that one because I think just to maintain that kind of a pace and keep up that level of visibility in a school is so incredible for school culture. So good luck with that, continuing that on in 2019. Greg, it's time for your quick picks. And here we want to know the education voices and resources that are shaping your practice and inspiring your thinking today. So starting at Twitter, tell us about someone we should follow there and share why they've been inspiring you lately.
Okay, I am going to cheat and I'm going to tell you two. Wendy Hankins, she is a second grade teacher from Texas. You can follow her at Mrs. Hankins Class. She's incredible. She posts something inspirational and something powerful almost every single day. And then second, Kate Lindquist. She is an art teacher from Florida. You can follow her at Hardest at Work. And man, the questions she poses and the quotes she puts out on Twitter, just inspiring and energizing. They make you think. Both Wendy and Kate are doing positive things, and reading their stuff just reminds me of how powerful educators and teachers really are. We make a difference, and these two totally make a difference every day on Twitter.
All right, that was Wendy Hankins and Kate Lindquist. And if you're trying to follow up on any of these links thrown out here by Greg, drop on by the show notes at teachersonfire.net. I'll have all of them there for you. Next, Greg, point us to an ed tech tool that you currently love using in your administrative work, or maybe something that you see teachers using in their classrooms to great effect.
So, not sure it's considered an ed tech tool, but Facebook Live. We do lots of stuff on Facebook with our families and our communities, and I love it. Facebook Live, bedtime stories, breakfast stories. Every few weeks, we get on and we read a picture book and we interact with kids and their families at home. And to be honest, I think it's one of the best things we started doing this year. Jeffrey Kubiak, he's a principal out here in California and a previous Teachers on Fire guest, was doing them right before school started. And our instructional coach at our school saw it and she said, we needed to be doing it too. And she challenged me to get it done and make it happen. And I love a good challenge, especially the night before school starts. And so we started then and we've been doing it sort of every few weeks. It really is a great way to connect with families. And then the next day to talk with kids about books. You know, they come up to me and they tell me that they've, you know, seen me on their parents' phones or their iPads and they're watching. And then we can talk about books. And I mean, that is an incredibly important thing to do, is to talk about reading and talk about books. And then teachers will show it in their classrooms as a read aloud after recess. It's been so great to just use this tool in a different way. I mean, we use Facebook for a lot. We post a good news call of the day there, thanks to the inspiration from Principal Mark French. And we post our Students of the Week on Facebook, and we post a video parent bulletin on Facebook. It really is the social media tool that our families are using, and you know, parents and grandparents are using. So that's where we go. You know, we post it on Facebook.
You know, you're making learning visible. You're making learning visible, and you're creating more of an audience for the learning activities happening in your school. And I think as soon as you do that, you can only increase buy-in from your parents and from the entire community. And that's only going to propel more and more learning and bigger and better things ahead. So very, very cool. Next, now we talked about books, Greg, and you are you're an intense reader of books, so this might be difficult, but tell us about a book that you've been reading lately, or maybe one of your all-time faves that we need to add to our list.
Oh my gosh, this is so hard. You know, I love all the DBC Inc. books, and I would recommend them all.
Right.
But I will throw out there a non-DBC Inc. book. It's a book called A Mindset for Learning by Christine Mraz and Christine Hertz, and it's published by Heinemann, and it's incredible. If you are looking for a resource on how to implement a growth mindset in your classroom and what that looks like, what perseverance looks like and how to teach it, and what optimism and empathy looks like and how to teach it, it's just a powerful tool. It's really about making classrooms joyful again. And that, that I think is what we're here to do, put joy into classrooms. And that makes me think of my all-time favorite picture book that I will throw out there. It's called The Jester Has Lost His Jingle by David Saltzman. It's about a jester that wakes up one morning and his jingles aren't jingling anymore. And so he goes in search of joy. And I won't give away the ending, but he finds it. And there is a line in the book that is just so, so powerful. David writes, it's up to us to make a difference. It's up to us to care. And I think that's what it's all about.
So good. So good. Greg, are you a podcast listener? Now, many of our audience are commuters, and we love to listen to those education podcasts, particularly in the morning when we're still in that headspace. So tell us about a podcast that we need to add to our deck here in 2019.
Yes, I love podcasts. They make the drive so interesting and intellectually stimulating, and love them. Teachers on Fire, absolutely a best podcast out there. And then I would say folks should listen to the Aspire Leadership podcast. It's really awesome. I think anyone working to make schools better for kids and staff should see themselves as a leader. And the lessons that Joshua Stamper and his guests talk about are hugely important. They're spot on, and I'm inspired every single time I listen.
Well, I'm a big Josh Stamper fan as well, and another previous guest of the Teachers on Fire podcast. So I will join you on that endorsement as well, Greg. The last two questions here talk about video. So tell us about a YouTube channel, one that either is instrumental in your practice or one that you just find personally amusing?
So totally random, not related to education at all, but I absolutely love watching Rice Farming TV. Rice Farming TV. It is awesome. My wife is a farmer, and she now works on farming and climate change policy for the state of California. And she got me hooked on this. And like teachers, I think farmers are just misunderstood. Both teachers and farmers are changing the world. And, you know, I don't think folks realize how hard it is. Farmers feed us. They take care of the planet. They make a difference. And I think Rice Farming TV shows you how hard it is. But it also is hilarious. It's about a rice farmer and his family and the things they do. And great watch, a ton of fun, and you'll learn something too.
It sounds like a family of farmers that have not lost their smiles. Is that right, Greg?
That is absolutely correct.
All right. And hey, tell you what, I did not even know that rice farming occurs here in North America. So that shows you my level of ignorance. I'd better get over there and subscribe to Rice Farming TV. And then the last question, just like this one, I guess, is strictly non-educational. Just for fun, what are you watching on Netflix these days?
Right now, I will admit it, I am watching Fuller House.
Yes.
My 10-year-old daughter loves it.
Throwback.
Each and every weekend we have a family movie night, and that is what she wants to watch over and over and over again. So I'm really glad the new season just came out. And then when she goes to bed, I could watch episodes of The West Wing all night long. Love it.
Greg, this has been a blast, buddy. What are the best ways for the listeners to follow you and get more of that great content and those book reviews?
You gave the shout out for the Read Like a Pirate blog, readlikeapirate.wordpress.com. So thanks for that. That's where Callie and I are posting our thoughts every week or every week and a half-ish when we finish those books. And then I'm on Twitter at Greg_Moffitt and same at Instagram at Greg_Moffitt, though you'll probably see lots of photos of my daughter and my dog and some inspirational quotes over there. So yeah.
Sounds good, Greg. Hey, man, thanks again for sharing your time with the podcast today. I really, really appreciate that story of a turnaround in your life and in your practice this year. So, Greg, all the best in 2019. Take care, and let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Tim. You too.
Thanks so much for joining me here today on the Teachers on Fire podcast. For show notes and links from this episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. And again, please do subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey, saying goodbye for now, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast.